scripture that y'all have read, heard, but I want to share it again tonight. And I want to just kindly pick up a little bit where we were at this morning and talk to you a little bit more about what the Lord put on my heart for the weekend. We sing the song, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, coming down from the Father above. Have you got that peace tonight? Amen. Well, we can go on to the house then. I don't know of anything else I can say that's really going to enlighten you so that you can have more peace. But I do pray that something be said this evening that will be a reminder to you of our source of peace. If man could give you peace, it would be like the man this morning that I read to you at the conclusion of the service, that he had went to the physician to find only what the physician told him, you need something that I can't give you, and that is peace from God. We pick up reading here in the book of Mark. I'll get it in a minute. Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. And I guess you could preach this message 100 different ways. But I just want to preach tonight what I feel like God allowed me to study and to discover and put in my own heart for the evening. When you look in verse number 35, the Bible says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, and they took him, even as he..." Let me back up. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they ask him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, Peace be still." Say that with me. Peace be still. "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Stretch your hand and pray for me this morning, this afternoon. Father, I do thank you, God, again for the opportunity, Lord God, to stand behind the pulpit, to preach the word of the living God. And Father, I know tonight, Lord, without your touch upon my life, I cannot do anything at all. But with you, Father God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, I pray that the words that we say tonight, the words that we speak tonight, let them, Father God, be an encouragement to someone that is here this evening. Father, I pray, God, that you would help us, O Lord God, to glorify the name of your dear Son, Jesus. And we thank you, God, in advance for that you're doing and that you've done. And Father, we give you praise for it. We ask your blessings on each and every individual that's here today under the sound of our hearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I could go through this lesson tonight, or I could go back through the scripture, and I could probably talk about a lot of different things that I've talked about in the past. But I wanted to just jump right in to what I believe the Lord sent me here to do. And again, that's just simply to declare peace over this congregation and declare peace over your own life. When we begin to see what Jesus and the disciples were engaged in, no doubt they were going to the other side. Commentary talked about that when they had gone to the other side, It was going to be new territory, a new experience, things that they had never experienced before. And we can talk about how that all of a sudden there came a storm, a great storm. The Bible said that it was winds and how the wind beat upon the ship. And now the ship was actually full of water, if you would. We can see that how that Jesus was there in the bottom of the ship. And Jesus was there getting some shut-eye. He was asleep. Now, we could stop right there and we could just say, well, that was a good message. And that was a good place to stop the message. But yet you and I know there was much more to this than what meets the eye. Jesus wanted them to see several things concerning himself as they were going through the storm. And I believe tonight a lot of times we get so fixed upon that storm that we really miss what God is wanting for us to really see. You know, years ago, and I know that you know this, there's a song that came out, and I don't know, I didn't look up the history of the song, and I know it's an old song, and if I'm not mistaken, I think a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby or something like that wrote the song years ago. And I could be wrong in that. I didn't look it up. She wrote hundreds of songs. But this particular song says these words. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And the refrain goes on to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. As I begin to think about the weekend and this service tonight on top of the service this morning, I think God gives you things right when you need it for a reason. Now, the reason I said that is there was a individual, and I don't want to get into that word that's called plagiarism this evening, but I want to share with you what one of our former assistant general overseers, some of you may have David Griffiths on your Facebook page, I don't know, but David Griffiths used to be one of our former general overseers. He was also the international secretary of treasury. He also worked as the international director of youth and Christian education through the Church of God years ago. So I opened up Brother David's Facebook. Well, I didn't open it up. It just came on my Facebook page yesterday. And the ironic thing is, I was working on this message at the time that this came up. And I thought, you know what? I've got to share that. He wrote it. But I don't think it's words that needs to go in vain and not get shared. But he wrote these words. And my friend, it was exactly a word that I needed at the time that I opened it up, and there it was. So Brother Griffiths writes these words and he says, peace, that sometimes elusive bomb of the soul coming gently to us in the soft caresses of our troubled hearts. And he goes on and he says, peace, oh how we long for it, and yet we so easily forget, but there's one source of peace which is so powerful in its effect upon us that it can in a moment of time obliterate every single thing that is troubling and assaulting our soul. Jesus, the master of every storm, Jesus who walks upon the troubled waters that terrifies us, Jesus who banishes blindness and reveals the beauty of the sparrow and the lilies, Jesus who is not intimidated by the grave, and Jesus who can cause Lucifer himself to flee into the barren wilderness of temptation. Yes, it is this Jesus that is that man of Galilee, this poor carpenter from Nazareth, this powerful preacher on the hillsides and the marketplaces, and upon the stone streets and the tiny villages. Yes, it is this Jesus, the one who made to us one of the most powerful promises to be found in the annals of history and on earth. Embrace now Jesus and his words in this dark hour. And then he actually goes to a scripture that's one of my most favorite scriptures out of the entire Bible. It's found in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 27. Because in that verse of scripture, it is Jesus talking to his disciples. It is Jesus actually leaving those disciples something that he knew that they were going to need. And it was a promise unto them. We can see in the scripture where that Jesus writes, and the Bible records Jesus' words, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you." Knowing who Jesus was and knowing the history of the disciples and knowing what these disciples would soon have to deal with, whether it be the Apostle Paul or Peter or any of the rest of them, with the onslaught of the enemy that would come against them, and how that each and every one of them would have to face a martyred life and have to face the difficulties of the enemy that was in front of them. My friend, as I go back and I begin to think about where you and I have already talked about part of the message this morning, that God said that he would keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And we know tonight that when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you," that it was a promise, my friend. "Peace I give unto you." As I said this morning, peace is not an event. Peace is not a new toy, if you will, or a new home or a new car or anything. That might be a temporary joy. But my friend, real peace that you and I can attain can only be found in the man Jesus Christ. There's no other way that humanity can really find peace other than the Prince of Peace. Amen? And we see this in the Word where Jesus again reiterated, and he says, "Peace I leave with you." He says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now I know that on this Sunday night, when we'd all probably like to already be at home in the bed taking a nap, you know what I'm talking about. You know it's the truth. It's late. It's getting dark outside early. It's hard to come back in here and have church on Sunday night because we've already had a nap and we're already in the sleepy mode. You know what I'm talking about. But my friend, I just want to preach a little bit to you, and I hope it's okay to let you know tonight that we serve a risen Savior. To let you know tonight that no matter what you need in your life tonight, these disciples were faced with a very dangerous situation. They inside themselves did not know how that it was going to come about. They did not know how that they were going to be delivered. They did not know how they were going to be rescued from the situation that they were in. But my friend, I know how now reading the scripture. But you and I see today in our own lives that we're on this troubled sea called life. A lot of times we think that Jesus is doing nothing more than ignoring us or asleep on the pillow at the bottom of the boat and wondering, why in the world are we going through what we're going through? But God has a purpose and God has a plan. And God wants us to see him in our lives today truly as the Prince of Peace. When we begin to look at Jesus and the Word of God, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, and let not your heart be afraid." When we think about this Jesus again, we can understand that we see the truth in his promise. That Jesus said he left us, the church, you and I, he left you and I peace today. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The Bible reminds us over and over again that true and real peace comes from him who is the Prince of Peace. And there is no other source of peace other than him. Jesus declares, even in this text, that the world cannot give you peace. And then we can see that Jesus says something very emphatically. And we can see that when we read the scripture, that Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." You see, our world today, and even many within Christianity, are so troubled, and it seems as if we're just brooding, if you will, in anxiety. David Griffiths went on to write that. He went on to write that says that we are so often brooding in anxiety right now. But he went on to say, but Christians, lift up your heads. And my friend, you and I tonight, we can lift up our heads. Why? Because Jesus is alive and Jesus is ever making intercession for you and I. And Jesus never sleeps. Amen. Far away in the depths of my spirit. Again, when we begin to think about what Brother Griffith said, rolls a melody sweeter than the psalm. It's a celestial like strains as it unceasingly falls o'er his soul, he says, like an infinite calm. And the refrain of this particular song says, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. When we begin to think about our soul tonight, God, can our soul are souls that are without any comfort. We can see that there are those that are walking through the marching down the pathway of time. So many today that Jesus, my friend, is the only source of hope once again. Again, make Jesus your friend. And he says, ere the shadows grow dark. As you make Jesus your friend, the shadows grow dark. And then accept the sweet peace. So sublime. Most of that came from David Griffiths, and I wanted to share that with you as we talk about peace tonight. When we talk about peace tonight, we can look at the scripture. The Bible says, if you look at it, that we must all have peace with God, or we all can have peace with God. Excuse me. And before we will experience that peace, we must experience God Himself. Let me say that again. That we can all have peace with God. But before we can have peace with God, we have all got to experience the peace of God. When I begin to think about this, I begin to think about the lessons that maybe I looked at this and I found out what maybe in my own heart that Jesus may have been wanting to teach these disciples about this storm. And I believe that all of us can learn from this. I believe that with everything within me. So the first thing I believe that I looked at and that I wanted to start talk about today is, yes, these disciples, as they were there, they could not deny the danger of the storm. It would be foolish of them and foolish of ourselves today to not recognize and to realize the evil that is in our world today. It would be foolish to just go stick our head in the sand and just say it don't exist. The disciples realized that they were in a dangerous situation. They realized as you begin to look at this, yet we understand that it was these disciples that did not want to underestimate the power of the storm. Yet in the same regard, we can never underestimate the power of our God. We can focus on the problem, or we can focus on what God has in store for us. I begin to think about that today in the church. In the church today, as I think about the church, we can all look around and see what needs to be fixed or what kind of problems is in our lives or what's wrong with the church. And I'm talking about the world at large. The world today, they say the church is this and the church is that. But my friend, I want to tell you something. I'd rather be in the church where I know I'm safe than out there in the world where there seems to be no safety. Now, I said it this morning and I want to say it again tonight. Is you may be okay if the boat's in the water, but you've got a real problem if the water's in the boat. When they began to realize that they were in the middle of a great storm, there was a great storm in verse number 37, if you will. And the Bible said the storm and the wind beat upon the ship, and it was now full. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in particular tonight, But there's times in our lives and it seems like that life at large seems, Brother Steve, to be so out of control. No matter how much we try, no matter what we do, we've done everything we know to do, and it seems like that life is so out of control. But may I submit unto you tonight that this situation that you're in tonight is not a life out of control. It's a life that's got an opportunity for the King of Glory to step in and for Jesus to come and speak peace over a troubled soul. I begin to think about this. I begin to think about, again, yes, they could not deny the storm, nor they could not deny the danger. Yet what was it? What was it that was wanting them, what that Jesus wanted them to see? I believe there are several things that Jesus wanted them to see. I believe that they wanted to, Jesus wanted them to see the supernatural Jesus. So in our storms, I believe that there are things that God wants you and I to see. Number two is simply this: the focus on the storm will only give us a perspective that we're the victim. To focus only on the storm will give us a perspective that we're only the victim. And that is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. I believe the enemy today is doing everything he can to see if you and I can feel victimized by him so that we will surrender our will to the enemy. When Jesus was there in you know the story as well as I do, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, where the Bible said that Jesus had been hungered and Jesus hadn't ate for 40 days and Jesus was afterward hungry, the Bible said. And then we can see that how that he came under the attack of Satan, if you will. And then these are the words that the devil used against Jesus. And he just simply said, "If thou be the Son of God." He wanted him, my wife and I talked about this the other day. He wanted him to doubt the man that God had made him to be. And he wanted him to deny his identity. He wanted to question the very person that God had wanted him to be. And the enemy wants you and I today to feel like we walk around with a victim mentality. But my friend, we are not the victors. Amen. Even in every storm of life, God is wanting to teach you and I something through every storm we've ever been through. So we think about storms today, and sometimes storms do not come to kill you. And one writer began to write about that, and he said that storms don't always come to kill you. Sometimes God will allow a storm to come in your life to correct you. And the reason he said that, and he used the example, and I'm not going to turn there tonight and go through it, but he used the example of Jonah. Jonah, the storm came, and you know Jonah, and he ended up, and he went and he fled, and he went away from God, and he ended up down in the belly of a whale, didn't he? Running away from God. He ran, and he ended up away from the will of God in the bottom of a fish. But yet it was through that example and through that experience that Jonah, as we read the Word of God, it shows us that sometimes when we don't walk in the will of God, God will allow a storm to come into our life. And through that storm is a storm that God has given and allowed to come in order for you and I to be corrected. That's why I say never fight your wilderness, because I believe that God has a wilderness, and God can teach us in the wilderness what he wants us to know. So we can see here in the Word of God that we must not focus just on the storm. But Lord, while I'm going through this storm, what is it that you are trying to teach me? And that is what brought me to the bulk of what I want to say for the next 10 minutes. And this is just what the Lord put on my heart. All that other stuff was just stuff that I read about. So what is it that God wanted to talk about with these disciples? Again, this is a little greenology tonight, and this is how I looked at it. So Jesus, yes, we see that in verse 39, Jesus said, "Peace, be still." A little acrostic, if you will, a little acronym, if you will, is the little word peace. And this is just what I came up with and what I felt like God wanted me to share with you tonight. So if a storm sometimes comes to correct us, if a storm sometimes comes to show us new perspectives, what is it in this scripture that God was really wanting to show them through, well, Jesus was really wanting to show them through this storm? He taught them, first of all, he taught them his saviorhood, that he was the Savior. Not only that, he taught them of his lordship, to allow Christ to rule over all of our lives. So when we look at the P this afternoon, the little P, I don't do that a whole lot, but I thought about, as I was looking at this, and I thought, man, this is good. This is a good way to do this. So what is it that God tried to teach them through this storm that they were in? They began to cry. They began to holler, Lord, help me. They were in a fearful situation. So what is it that God allowed the storm to come to teach them? First of all, he began to teach them the P is for protection. For protection. He taught them that he could protect them from the elements, if you will. But he taught them that as they leave this ship and they go on to do ministry, as Jesus called these disciples to ministry, no doubt, and I don't know this and neither do you, but no doubt they could have went back and they could have had other situations, and Peter, James, John, the disciples, all of them gathered around. Brother Steve, they could have said, but you do remember, don't you? We're going to be okay. You do remember when we were in the storm, and you do remember that Jesus rebuked the storm and Jesus said, peace. You do remember that on that occasion when we like to have drowned, or we knew we were doomed, that Jesus stood up and Jesus rebuked the wind and Jesus protected us. So I began to think about that, and something began to churn on the inside of me. Brother Beckner, you've been through a few storms, and we've all been through a few storms, but we're still here. That God has shown us over and over again that he can protect his people. If I wanted to go and use examples throughout the scripture, I could talk about different things throughout the word, but it is through the scripture and the Psalms that God knows how to protect us under the shadow of his wing, if you will. As a mother hen protects her dibbies, her little chicks, if you will, that how much more does God know how to protect you? In Israel, when Israel was in the wilderness, God became a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Egyptians was behind them. The very fire that killed the Egyptians was the very fire that showed them which way they were to go. Amen. And God can do the very thing for you, and God can do the very thing for me. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances is, I want you to remember the P in peace tonight stands for protection. Number two, or the E, if you will, the second thing I thought about is simply this. I thought about where Jesus was there, and they were wondering why he was asleep. In verse number 38, he said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 39 says, and he arose. When I thought about that part right there, the E hit me. What was that? What was the E in peace all about? Simply this, that Jesus enlightened them. When I thought about Jesus enlightening them, when you begin to look at the definition, you begin to look at this, it's furnishing knowledge. He furnished them knowledge of himself. They begin to see him in a total new perspective. Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace be still. When we think about this, we see enlightened, and then he furnished the knowledge of himself to them. They were able to see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not just another fisherman. Has God ever broke through for you? Has God ever brought an answer? answer, when you didn't know where the answer was going to come from, and all of a sudden you popped yourself on the head and you said, I could have had a V8. For those of you that's my age, you know what that is. But Jesus all of a sudden said, all the disciples all of a sudden said, wow, he really is who he says he really is. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. In the year that we're living in, the day that we're living in, if there's anything our world needs, is an enlightenment on who Jesus really is. And so, my friend, when Jesus did this, he rebuked the storm and he rebuked the wind. And the Bible said there came and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. So what was the next thing? So we got to P-E-A. The A in this is simply this. That he was to give them the assurance. He was to give them the assurance. And here's the second part of the A. That would later, he would affirm them. And the reason I said that is simply this. When you look at this word affirm, it is an understanding that he enabled them to do greater work than he did, because the Bible said that Jesus said, I go to my Father, and greater things than these you shall do. But when he affirmed them, he offered his support to them, showing them that you got this. Affirm. There's this thing in the love languages, and I like to read that book, and I like to go back and read it. It's been a while since I've done that. And one of the things that's in the five love languages, and I'm not going to go through all that right now, but one of the things is simply this, is words of affirmation. Do you know Jesus went back to the Father? He affirmed them on this occasion when he showed them of who he truly was. In this whole scenario, we see that that Jesus, again, he was able to enlighten them, that they would really see that he was the Christ and that he could really protect them. Jesus told them to go into the cities. Don't take scrip. Don't take food. Don't take anything. I'm going to take care of you as you go. And I know that you know the scripture, but Jesus said to those disciples at that time, he said, even the sparrows, I can take care of them. I know how to take care of them. Look at the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. And Solomon in all of his glory, they're not arrayed like thee. So you and I tonight, when we go through this thing called life, and I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't live in a Pollyanna land. I know there's hard days. I know there's tough days. I know there's real circumstances of life. It's real, church, Brother Steve. It gets real sometimes. But I'm just simply saying this, that when it gets that way, to remember him, that God is for you and God is not going to leave you. God is not going to forsake you. That you're a child of God. You're a king's kid. And he's for you tonight. These were his disciples. Boy, I'm moving quick. When we look at this next one, we can see that not only did he protect them and not only did he enlighten them, but he was there to affirm them, to enable them to do greater works than these, because he was going to go back to the Father. Not only this, the C in peace is probably one of my most favorite ones. All throughout the New Testament, Jesus even said, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country only. There was a time that they said, well, is this not Joseph's son? This is a carpenter's son, and he's got to be losing his mind. Here he is, he's saying that he's the Son of God. So when I thought about the little C in the word peace, I thought about this simple little word. What Jesus wanted to do to these disciples, I love this, because I believe that he wanted to confirm, and there's your word, confirm to them who he was. That they would be, those disciples would be able to be there, and they would be able to see the true identity of who Jesus is. It was able, they were able to see, my friend, that Jesus in this, that they would be able to see that he's the Christ, that he was the Son of the living God. The Bible said that his powerful word went forth and his presence was there, and that God's purpose was revealed in his life over them. And in this we can see that where Jesus actually spoke and he said, "Peace be still." And in this the Bible said, and there was a great calm, signifying to you and I that storms do come. They do really happen. But yet, my friend, we've got to understand that they don't last. Me and Brother Steve talked about this before. A lot of times people are getting ready to go into a storm. They're in a storm, or they're coming out of a storm. That's the way life is. But I believe that Jesus can speak peace over your storm. The last thing, the E on peace, is simply this. When we begin to look at this, we can see that he said unto them, he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" A lot of times we got to actually ask ourselves the tough questions. Why did you have no faith? Faith is one of those things. The Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith. Sometimes it's very difficult to see faith in action when you're going through the storms of life. But Jesus, I believe the E in peace is simply this, that he wanted to offer them encouragement. He wanted to encourage them, which means if you look at that, encourage is a word that means to give support unto or confidence. And that Jesus was willing to actually instill hope within them. We begin to look at the scripture and we begin to go a little bit further before I wrap it up here in a minute. Is Isaiah, again, as I talked about Isaiah this morning, it is said that Isaiah was the one that talked the most about the Messiah that would come. He talked more about the coming of the Lord in the Old Testament than any other place. In Isaiah 53, we can see that where Isaiah was actually describing this one that would come. His name, if you begin to look, and I'm not going to turn there just for the sake of time, but you can read those 12 or 13 verses right there. And right in the middle of that, Isaiah begins to talk about this one that would come. And in the middle of those verses of Isaiah 53, and it says, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." He becomes our peace. Peace is not an event. It's not a place. Peace is a person. Jesus is that person. When we begin to think about Isaiah 53 again, we can see the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In the middle of chaos, he can bring peace. As we begin to look at that scripture. In Philippians 4, we know this. A couple of verses in Philippians. God's peace can rule over your heart right now. God's peace can be a companion to the troubled soul. It can be a companion to the troubled heart. Peace, my friend, is not a trouble-free life, but it's a sense of calm in the midst of life's raging sea. When you look in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7, in conclusion, and Jody can come, this is what he says. He says, "Be careful for nothing." Sometimes we don't understand that. But be careful. And he teaches us, don't be filled with anxiety. Many of the newer translations uses the word anxiety there. And you know and I know, if you look at anxiety, and even in our young people today, more so than ever in all of our lives. We see young people as young as 10 and 8 and young children today. And they're already being treated for anxiety because it seems like the troubles of life is all around them. And it seems like today that they have no peace. It seems like that peace has vacated the building. But I just come in conclusion to tell you tonight that you can still have peace. As we live our lives for Him, as we surrender our lives for Him, there is no rest for the wicked, the Bible says. My friend, the sinner has no peace. The sinner, my friend, his bed will crawl at night, if you will. He wallows his bed at night because he has no peace. But the Bible said in the Psalms that he laid me down and I slept. Why? Because I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. Because I know in whom I have believed. And I know that Jesus can speak peace to any situation, whatever I'm going through. But again, he teaches us in careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse number 7 simply says this. And the peace of God, as you stand with me tonight, the peace of God. And the peace of God. Lord, I don't know how I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't know how everything in my life seems to be falling apart. But Lord, I choose to trust in you. As I mentioned the scripture today, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will give you rest. He will direct your path. But in this scripture here in verse 7, we don't have to get tore out of our frame. We don't have to worry about everything. You say, well, preacher, you're not me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, you're not me. No, I'm not. But the same God I have is the same God you can have. And the same God that keeps my heart at peace is the same God that can keep your heart at peace. You say, well, preacher, I'm going through the storm. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I know how you're going to make it. As we use the old song again, put your hand in the hand of the man who steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Brother Horace sings sometimes that Jesus is the master of the sea. And I believe that tonight, don't you? Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, just for this little simple message tonight, God. That you, Lord, you are our hope. And that, Lord, where would we be without you? What can we do without you? Lord, it's just a reminder tonight, God, as we conclude this weekend, Father God, as we get ready to go throughout our week. Lord Jesus, no matter what we come up with and no matter what we have to deal with, God, help us to trust in you with all of our heart. Help us to know, God, that you are our peace. And Father, whatever anxieties individuals have in this room, Lord, you told the disciples and Peter wrote it, cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. In the scripture, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe this simple little message was for you tonight. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, remember me this week in prayer. I needed this tonight, Pastor Green. Anyone else? I just needed to be reminded tonight that Jesus was in control. Seemed like their life was out of control, but all he had to do is speak peace. And Father, I just speak peace over this congregation tonight, God. Every individual, every person that's in this room, Holy Spirit, we speak peace over them tonight. And Lord, we love you. We honor you and we praise you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.